Hi, this is Richard Morgan with podcast episode 105, continuing in our study of the book of Exodus. And we're going to carry on by looking some more at this conversation between Moses and the angel who represents God in this bush. And it's a very important situation that goes on here, which continues the theme that we had a look at early on, in which God is concerned for his people because he is remember their names. And this is the occasion where God reveals his name to Moses. Now, let's start with considering how much God cares about his people. And it comes out in a really interesting way in this context. If you look at the end of chapter 2, first of all, before Moses goes into the wilderness and encounters the burning bush, this is where the children of Israel cry to God for help. So it says that the people of Israel in chapter 2, verse 23, groaned because of their slavery and cried out for help. And their cry for rescue from slavery came up to God. And God heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. God saw the people of Israel, and God knew. And in my version I'm reading from here, the English Standard, it just stops there. God knew. The New English Translation, the NET Bible, as it's commonly called, translates that as God understood. Now, this might be something hard for us to understand. What we're being told here is that when God saw that the people of Israel were suffering, in some way, God understood what they were going through. If you look in chapter 3, then, when God speaks to Moses, this is expanded on. It says in verse 7 that God said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt. I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings. I know their sufferings. Now, that word know, as we looked at in an earlier podcast, is more than simply an academic knowledge, a theoretical knowledge. Of course, the all-knowing God knew that the children of Israel were suffering. I mean, he could look down from heaven and see that the taskmasters were whipping them and working them hard. So God knew that they were suffering in that sense. But the word knowledge in the book of Exodus is more to do with an experiential knowledge. Now, how do we understand that? Because, of course, God has never gone through suffering himself. But in some way, which I think is difficult for us to grasp, but it says so here that God understood what they were going through. And this is an important doctrinal point that comes out of this, because you may have heard this idea that Jesus, as our mediator, has to explain to God what we're going through. That somehow, because God is so high and so distant from us, that he needs Jesus to explain what it's like to go through temptation. And he acts as our mediator, telling God to forgive us because he's gone through similar things. And the Trinitarian around us, the people who believe that Jesus is God and became a man, will tell you that that was necessary because God needed to understand what it was like to be a human being in order to forgive us for our sins and to be kind to us. But that's not what the scriptures teach. The scriptures don't teach us that God needed his mind changed. And what this section teaches us is really that God had empathy for this people. God was already merciful. God was already kind. In fact, later on in Exodus, when Moses is up on the mountain and God reveals his glory to Moses, God describes who he is. God is merciful and gracious. He doesn't need somebody to change his mind, to stop him being so angry and wrathful. And here we see that God understood. God had empathy for this people. And because of that, his kindness came to this people by sending Moses to rescue them. I just want to explore this a little bit further. If you go back to this section in verse 7, where it says, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt. I've heard their cry. I know their sufferings. There's a little chiastic structure here, which is kind of interesting. It goes through down to verse 9. So verse 7, I have seen the affliction of my people. I've heard their cry. I know their sufferings. Now, if you look at the end of verse 9, it says, I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. So that parallels the beginning of verse 7. I have seen the affliction of my people. Now think about this. Whenever you've seen somebody who is suffering in some way, perhaps you've seen a news story on people who are suffering poverty in a far-off country. And as you witness that, you start to enter into their suffering in some way. Even though you may not have experienced that same thing yourself, there's compassion that rises up inside you when you see it. But then it goes a little bit further. Again, in verse 7, I've seen the affliction. And then it says, I have heard their cry. And the parallel with that is earlier in verse 9. So at the end of verse 9, God sees their affliction. But before that, it says, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me. Now, it's one thing to see somebody suffering, but I'm sure you'll agree that when you hear someone's cries of anguish, when you hear someone's cry for help, when you can feel their suffering in their groaning, and that's what God heard back in chapter 2, he heard their groaning, that somehow that intensifies the situation. And you enter even more into their suffering. And that's what God is describing here, that he's coming ever closer to this point of empathy with his people. So he sees their affliction, he hears their cry, and then in the middle of this little chiastic structure, at the end of verse 7, I know their sufferings. That's the God of the Bible. That's the God of the book of Exodus. That's the God who cares for his people. That's the God who remembers their names. And that's the God who assures Moses throughout this conversation that he will be with his people. Look down at verse 12. He said to Moses, but I will be with you. And Moses, you can look at the context. Moses is concerned about this calling he has. And he wants God to go with him. And God reassures him and says, yes, I will be with you. And that really forms the backdrop to the revelation of the name of God. If you look at verse 13, Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask of me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, and in most English translations, it says, I am who I am. You've probably heard that that's better translated, I will be who I will be. Now, that little phrase, I will be, is the phrase Eya in Hebrew, or the word Eya, and it's exactly the same as what we read in verse 12. I will be with you. And there's something really, really profound in that, in what God tells Moses is his name. I will be. So let's just pause there and we'll think about that a little bit more in our next podcast.